All right, well, praise God. We're going to continue on today talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we're going to start looking at the individual gifts. So we've talked a lot about why the gifts were given and how they're to be used. And to quickly review, you know, the gifts are given to be used by the body, by the church. They're not for individual use, but they are to be exercised and used within the body. No gift is more important or greater than any other gift. They are all important gifts. And last week we saw that they must be exercised in love. If we do not exercise the gifts in love, then we are just wasting our effort in the process. To look at the gifts, obviously I'm not going to cover them all this morning, so we're going to break them down. And I will tell you, you may see different classifications, different orderings, different groupings. The Bible really doesn't use a specific grouping. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, you look at Romans 12, you'll see things listed differently in different orders. So I don't think Paul really intends to imply anything by the order necessarily that he lists most of these. But for our purposes, it does help to kind of group things into related categories, although you will find that when it comes to grouping into categories, different people have different opinions about what should be grouped where. So this is the grouping we're used. If you see somebody else or you have another grouping that you like, it's okay, because there are just things that we're putting on there, you know, for our purposes. It's not necessarily to imply anything else other than just we're organizing things for our purposes. Also, I will mention that sometimes looking at the gifts, the concept of an office, you know, someone who holds a title or a position versus a gift does seem to be a little bit fuzzy. And again, trying to sort that out. And I will say, in every case, I can't be 100% clear of what Paul was talking about. So I can try to make some educated guesses. But I will tell you, it's kind of one of these areas, again, where different people have different views, different takes. I've heard a lot over the years. And in fact, you know, originally, I kind of went along with the first thing that I was taught, but over the years, I've kind of changed my views a little bit. So again, I'm not trying to impose anything here. I'm just, but I'll tell you the way that I kind of see these things working, okay? But if you've heard it different, or you have a different opinion, that's okay. It's not the end of the world, because it's not real clear in every case. Today, I want to talk about gifts of leadership. So these are gifts that are associated with leadership within the body, okay? And 1 Corinthians 12, again, will be here in 1 Corinthians 12. This is our main passage, verse 28. I'll give you a second if you need to flip your Bibles or your phones over to chapter 12, verse 28. And Paul writes, "Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages." So Paul gives us a listing here. He breaks some things out. And again, this is different than how he lays it out in the book of Romans. But I find something very interesting here reading this, because the first three that Paul mentions, he does attach a special label to those. You know, he says, first are our apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. So we have first, second, and third. And in kind of the way I read this, Paul says, you know, we have this, we have this, we have this, and then we have everything else. Now, that may not be the appropriate way of interpreting it, but that seems pretty reasonable to me. So why would Paul attach that, you know, first, second, and third to three of the things that he points out, and then drop it when he goes on to talking about other things? And if we look at it, I think we can get some clues again. One is the first three do appear to be more personal. They're talking maybe more specifically about a person, are a person who holds an office or a title versus a general gift, an impersonal statement. So I think maybe Paul is starting off, and he is talking a little bit more about offices, and then he talks about gifts. And but certainly anybody who holds an office must be gifted by the Holy Spirit to hold that office. Amen? So again, well, where's the line between office and gift? I don't know. It's all tangled up. And so maybe that's the reason it comes out tangled up here. Maybe that's the way Paul saw it too. And he wasn't trying to lay out any special distinction. Maybe he's just saying, look, we have people that occupy these offices, and then we have people that do these things, but they all work together for the good of the body. So let's kind of look at what Paul mentions here in this list. He says, first is apostle. Now, I will tell you, you bring up the topic of apostle in churches, and you open up a can of worms real quick. Because there's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different views about apostles. Some people say, well, there were 12 apostles, and there were only 12 apostles, and you know, when those 12 died out, there were no more apostles. Well, I think that's definitely a wrong view, because I think that the title was used much wider than just the 12. And in fact, Paul kind of tells us that. If you want to back up a couple of pages to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, Paul's talking about some false teachers here. And he says in verse 13, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. So Paul certainly uses that term apostle to apply to more than just 12 people. And how could there be false apostles if there were only 12 apostles? So I think we can see, at least in Paul's letters, his concept of apostles was definitely much greater than the 12. But in some cases, it seems that Paul uses the term apostle in a more restricted manner. And again, there are some people that hold to this view. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Paul is establishing his authority. He says, am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? And so some people look at that and they say, oh, well, the qualification of being an apostle is somebody who saw Jesus with their own eyes. Although Paul kind of falls in a different category there a little bit as an apostle, you know, even with that, he did experience Christ. So, you know, we could make the argument, well, he experienced Christ after Christ's death and resurrection. Well, then could Christ come to people today and appoint them as apostles still? Well, I would say that certainly could be a possibility. So could there be apostles today? That's a big question. You know, could there be apostles today? Or even the bigger question, are there apostles today? And again, I don't think that's an easy question to answer because, again, it sparks so much controversy. You know, I tend to group, when I talk about apostles, I group it kind of into two groups, the big A apostles, the little A apostles, okay? So the big A apostles, capital A, and that I would call the original 12 that Paul was part of. So when I talk about them, I kind of put them in this category of, you know, being a special group of apostles. But it appears that there were other apostles, and I use the little A title associated with them to bring that distinction. But that's just me, again. I'm not clear how all that breaks down, or at least how Paul viewed all of that. So we try to pull it together, come up with something. But, you know, what do we see about apostles in the New Testament? Well, we see that they were sent, especially the big A, the 12 group, they were sent specifically by Christ to go out to the church. Apostles weren't necessarily associated with a particular church, but they were ministers, you know, to the church at large. And one way of looking at it, say, well, we had the original 12 apostles, and then under that, we have other apostles who continue that work. And they're not necessarily bound to a single church, but they go out and they do the work of God out in other places. So we could say, yeah, there are groups of people that do this apostolic work. Am I perfectly clear on the fact that I'm not perfectly clear in my mind? So the bottom line is, I don't really know exactly how all this, how we should interpret all this. But again, we get some kind of ideas about what needs to be done. We certainly know today there are people who need to be sent to go out and do the work. So are they apostles? Well, I don't know that it matters so much what we call them. It matters, are they getting the job done? All right, well, then we jump into second is prophets, okay? Another very controversial title or term. So, you know, I guess Paul just gets these out of the way real quick for us. So the prophet as opposed to the apostle, prophets in the New Testament did not appear that very often that they, you know, went to other churches. Prophets were associated with a specific church, a specific body, whereas apostles were those who were outside of the church body. So that certainly is a distinction between an apostle and a prophet. And prophecy certainly is tied to the concept of revelation knowledge, right? It's not predicting the future, but it's God revealing knowledge, whether it's about the future or about something else. Prophecy literally means, you know, to speak on behalf of someone else. And in our case in the Bible, to speak on behalf of God. So a prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. And, you know, so is there a difference between the gift of prophecy and the title or the office of prophet? Well, I don't know. Paul just kind of uses both of these words without, again, giving us a real clear meaning. But here, to me, it seems that he's talking more of maybe a specific office, somebody who operates in that gift, versus the gift itself. But, again, I'm not clear. It's you know, and so why is there so much controversy in the church today? Well, because we run into these same issues that I'm talking about. It's not clear. We have to kind of look at it and say, where do we think this is going? Now, I will tell you one, if it was super important, I think it would have been spelled out for us. Amen? So I don't lose any sleep over it. I worry much more about the things that are perfectly clear that we should be doing that we aren't doing than worry about the things that aren't clear. Certainly should not cause division within the body, right? So if you have a different view or somebody else has a different view, we can say that's okay because it's not totally clear. Now, if somebody has a totally unbiblical view, that's another story, right? These are terms that don't get used in a lot of settings. A lot of churches, and myself included, I just like to avoid these terms pretty much. I know a lot of other people who avoid these terms. Why? Because there's so much controversy about it. And I will tell you, over the years, I've encountered a few people who have attached the title apostle or prophet to their name. Pretty much, if somebody comes up to me and they say, oh, I'm an apostle or I'm a prophet, I run the other way real quick, right? I don't know, Leanne, you probably encountered a few self-appointed apostles and prophets, and you know what I'm talking about. The people that I have encountered, they are a little bit weird, amen? And they just seem to be attaching these, you know, again, self-appointed, you know, I don't know. I met a guy several years ago, and he was telling me that he was called to be an apostle and that he didn't minister in a church, but his job was to go out and that he ministered to pastors. And we had this long conversation, and all this guy did was just kept telling me about himself and how, you know, how more spiritual he was than anybody else. And after listening to him for it seemed like forever, I finally told him, I said, look, when are you going to start talking and start doing? Because if you're called to minister to pastors, I don't feel that I'm being ministered to. And he got upset with me for some reason. So I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I really got the feeling that he just wanted to declare that he was more spiritual than everybody else. And, you know, attach that title just to promote himself. You know, I think if you have a gift, you don't need to go around telling people what that gift is. Just do it. People will figure it out. Amen? If all you do is talk about it and don't do it, there's a big problem. And so the people I see with those titles, I will tell you, I look at some of you have met Danny James, one of the missionaries we support. He goes, does a lot of work in Africa. And I've talked with Danny, and I told him one time, I said, you know, I would kind of define the work that you do as an apostolic work, being sent over to another place to go off and to establish churches. And they go over and they build churches and they raise up pastors from the community there. So it's not like, well, we're going to go over and have a church and I'll be the pastor. But it's like Paul did. Paul went in, he led people to Christ, built the church, trained people up, installed pastors and elders in those churches, and then he went to the next place and did it again. And that's kind of what I see parallel with Danny. I was talking to him one time. I said, I kind of see that as apostolic work. He said, yeah, that's probably true, but please, whatever you do, don't use that name in connection with me. Why? Because he encountered a lot of the same type of people I've encountered. So, is everybody who says you're an apostle or a prophet crazy? Well, probably not, but most of them I've encountered are. So that's the reason I just kind of stay away from those terms, okay? All right, so then we can get to the third one, which is not quite so controversial, and that is teacher. Although, again, we can say, well, what does Paul mean when he talks about teacher? Because it can mean so many different things, so many different people, and so many different settings. And again, this is one of these that both seems to be applied to a person as a title and as a gift, the ability to teach. So yeah, we kind of see this overlap here. And in other places, we do know that elders have to be able to teach. In fact, that's a specific requirement of an elder. Elder, pastor, bishop, we use those terms interchangeably. So when Paul is explaining the qualifications to be a pastor or an elder, he says they must have the ability to teach. They must have that gifting, that spirit-given ability to be able to teach, or they should not serve as a pastor in a church. So we see that, we apply the term pastor, elder, bishop, and teacher at the same time. So again, there's overlap in these gifts. They don't necessarily say, oh, well, I'm the pastor, and so I do the pastoring, and you're the teacher, and you do the teaching. And no, these things do have a lot of overlap. And again, I think that's one of the problems when we try to break them down into make them individual components. They're not necessarily individual components. It's kind of like everything you put together to make a cake. You know, I think it's like you take these things and you mix them together and you get a cake. So you put the eggs and the flour and the sugar and all that and you mix it up and you get a cake. But you can't go in once the cake is made and pull out the eggs and the sugar and the butter and separate it out. That's kind of the best analogy I can give on how I view this, is that these things all operate together to produce the end result. Okay, so after these first three, there are other titles or other gifts associated with leadership that are mentioned in the scripture. And of course, one of them I mentioned was elder, pastor, bishop. And certainly teaching is one of those things that is closely tied to pastors. So we expect pastors to do what I'm doing right now, which is teaching. Sometimes we call it preaching, but I think the more technical term would be to teach most of the time. The word preach simply means to proclaim, and so that's not the job of solely of the pastor, but everybody should be able to proclaim. Amen? You should. What does that mean? It means go tell people about Jesus. And so certainly pastors can tell people about Jesus. In fact, they can stand up in church, and they can preach, they can proclaim. But I think in general, that term probably should be more what we do outside the church. We're preaching outside the church. But again, everybody has their own view of what the term preach means or preacher. So terminology gets us all upside down if we're not careful. And the fact that we use terms differently now than how they were used in the Bible doesn't help either. So, but we have pastors. Then another one we have is evangelist. And to me, evangelist and missionary and apostle all kind of seem to be stacked up together in a lot of ways. Because Paul was an apostle, but he was also a missionary. Nobody argues that. And obviously, he was also an evangelist. We don't argue that. So Paul operated in all these various gifts or all these various offices, or maybe they're all tied in together. But evangelists are important. Evangelists, in a biblical sense, are not people who go to churches. Amen? Now, I know growing up in church, we used to have evangelists coming to church. You probably know what I'm, you have an evangelist was basically a person, we would call them a preacher now, we want to be biblical, we'd say, well, they were a teacher, and they would go from church to church to church, and they would, you know, they would come in and have, you know, like a you know, they're going to come in and going to have like a three-day revival. If it goes really well, we'll extend it on after that. But they're going to come in, and so the idea was bring in somebody, you know, to get the body of the congregation fired up, and they would come in. A lot of times they were kind of fiery kind of people, you know. I know growing up in the church I grew up in, every time you had evangelists come in, you knew you were going to hell because, you know, they made that very clear. And, you know, you got saved every time the evangelists came because they were hell, you know, hellfire and brimstone kind of guys. That's not the biblical concept of an evangelist, though. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But evangelist is somebody who goes to where the sinners are and evangelizes them, right? Who spreads the good news to those who haven't heard. That's the concept of evangelist. So again, you know, we get these things mixed up. So can a pastor be an evangelist? Well, yeah. You can do evangelism, go out and tell people about Christ. But again, primarily we see the role of the pastor to be in a church teaching the congregation, whereas we see the evangelists, the ones going out and finding where the people are. And a lot of times we call those people missionaries. So again, we say, well, you know, Brother Danny, is he a missionary? Yes, missionary to Africa. But a lot of what he does is evangelism in a lot of ways, going and finding people who've never even heard the name Jesus Christ before, and telling them. So we see all these things come together. How do we break them down? Well, I don't know. You know, and I don't know that Paul intended for us to slice and dice and break things down. But I think, again, he's painting a picture of how the body of Christ works. Amen? How the kingdom gets built. And then other things we see back in 1 Corinthians 12:28, we read just a minute ago, we see those who can help others. So we have helpers. Helpers. Well, helpers, I think, are people who minister within the body. And certainly, I think we can all be a helper in some way. Amen? Now, the way we're able to help others may vary, but there's something we can all do to be helpers. But some people are just, they just have that special gifting to be able to help others out. And I think sometimes it's to recognize, you know, the need and then to have the ability to meet that need. And they use that to help within the body. And certainly they can help as leadership within the church. Another title that we see mentioned is administrators. Now, a lot of people don't like to use that word in church, administrators. So who are the administrators? Well, certainly elders, bishops, pastors, we expect that that's probably a big part of their job to handle some of the administration. Certainly deacons handle some of that administrative duty. You know, then there are others within the body that get involved with various administrative responsibilities in the church that don't necessarily hold a title or a position, but they are involved in keeping things working and flowing and going that need to be taken care of. So we need administrators in the church, amen? We need people to take care of the stuff and take care of the paperwork and make sure the bills get paid, and if something gets broke, make sure it gets fixed. And all those types of things have to be done. And I know a lot of people are like, well, it's not very spiritual. Well, excuse me, that's a spiritual gift right there, gift of administration. So don't tell me that somebody who serves in an administrative capacity in the church is not spiritual if they're operating in the gift of administration. Another one Paul mentions is, again in verse 28, those who have the gift of leadership. And so we have leaders. Paul mentions that also in Romans 12:8. Paul says, if God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility serious. So again, that could be applied to elders, pastors, bishops, deacons, right, as being leaders. But certainly it can apply to other roles, other people in the body. So different levels, different types of leadership, different people have different leadership abilities to lead in those areas. Amen? So again, I think Paul's just giving us very general terms here. And, you know, it's not to say, well, God is giving me the gift of leadership, so this is what I have to do. No, God gives you the gift of leadership. The field's pretty wide open about where God's going to use you in that ability. But if you have that ability, take it seriously. Amen? That's what Paul says. So terminology, you know, gets us tangled up. And again, we use terms differently now than how they may have been used in the Bible. And a lot of it's just over the years as people have used them differently. Different churches use different terms differently, which causes confusion. And so, you know, what do we do? Well, again, we don't get too excited about it. And if I back up, if I try to zero in at the smallest level, that's where my confusion comes in. But if I back up, I'm not confused. I can begin to see this beautiful picture. I see there are people taking care of administrative stuff and people who are, you know, people who are helping out here and people who are going out to the lost and people who are teaching and discipling others and, you know, people who are seeing that the work of God is done. And you see all this done and you say, well, you know, do we need to attach? I'm not sure Paul was trying to attach titles to all these things, but again, I really think Paul was saying these are the things that should be happening in the body to make the kingdom of heaven grow. Amen? All right, so, you know, do people today perform the functions of apostle and prophet? Well, absolutely. I think that those functions get performed, whether we attach those titles or not. That type of work that needs to be performed, it gets done. We may call them by different names instead of apostle. We may call them a missionary or an evangelist. I don't think that that matters that much. You know, I think that terms are not important, but we do kind of need to understand the meanings of how the word's being used. So when we're using those words and talking to other people, I think the most important thing is to make sure that if we're talking to somebody else, when they use a term, we know what they mean by that term instead of assuming that it means something because, like I say, different churches, different groups use those terms a bit differently. Then that causes some confusion within the body or causes confusion with me if I don't know how this other person's using this term. So sometimes I will ask and say, well, what do you mean by that? And I get educated. You know, we're pretty familiar with terms in modern-day church. We're pretty familiar with terms like pastor. That's a term that gets used a lot. You know, when you hear bishop or elder, they're typically not referring to the same idea as pastor. Although in the Bible, those seem to be kind of just linked together. And it's like, well, you know, it's Tuesday, so we'll call him bishop, and it's Thursday, so we'll call him elder. That doesn't seem to be clear. And so, you know, kind of those all come together. But, you know, if somebody else comes and they use the term bishop, then they may talk about somebody who, again, is not in a specific church, but kind of in a denominational organization over a group of churches in a certain area or something. So, but then there are churches that instead of having a person with a title pastor, they have the person with the title bishop, who is what we would call the pastor in the church. So again, I don't worry about those titles. Somebody says, you know, this is bishop, then my only question would be, what do you mean by bishop? And I don't ask it quite that bluntly, but that's my ultimate goal is that, well, what do you mean by that? And it's like, oh yeah, he's the guy who leads the church and he stands up and does the teaching on Sunday. I go, oh, okay, to you, bishop is pastor. But otherwise, it may be somebody in a denominational organization. The Assemblies of God, they don't have bishops, they have presbyters, right? Same concept. So we have all these different terms. Don't let the terms get you down, amen? But just realize different people may be talking about different things. Certainly, again, we have concept of like board members in churches. Board members, I would say, are kind of like administrators, right? They handle a lot of the legal administrative stuff that has to be handled in the church. So, you know, what do we look for? Well, we should probably be looking for people who have the gift of administration to be on church boards. We have department leaders, especially in bigger churches here. We kind of have the department of the church. But, you know, if you're like me, you've been in bigger churches. We've gone to larger churches. You had like the Sunday school superintendent. You know, they were the leader over the Sunday school, and then you know you had the youth leader over the youth department. You had somebody over the children's department, and somebody over this, and somebody over that. You know, if you're in a really big church, you have a whole lot of deacons. You have somebody who's over the deacons, and you know they serve in that leadership position. So again, I think these things kind of come together as needed within a body. So the things certainly we don't need a Sunday school superintendent in this church at this point in time. Amen? That wouldn't make sense. But if we grew to be a church of 400 people, might make a whole lot of sense to say we got to have a Sunday school superintendent. Then we would have one. So we have the things that we need at the time that we need them. And I believe God works all this together. So again, not every church looks the same. Not everybody has, not everybody, but every body of Christ, every local body, has the same needs for the same gifts to be exercised in the same way. So I think all these gifts, again, are in the church, but they're used depending on how they're needed at that particular time in that particular church. You know, and sometimes we hear different types of terms thrown around. So somebody will say, oh, this is the worship leader. Although in some churches you go in there, they're not the worship leader, they're the minister of music. Or sometimes you go and they're the worship pastor. So again, we attach different titles, but you know, what are they? Are they a pastor or are they a leader? And is it, you know, I don't know. Does it really matter in the end? What really matters again is that these things are happening and different people just call them by different things and that works for them. So it's less important we argue about the specific meanings of these titles and these offices and these gifts, and focus more on that the work is being done. So again, if God has gifted you to do something, don't worry about what your title is. Amen? Just do what God's called you to do. That's the most important thing. If you're more concerned about the title, then there's something wrong. Amen? You're back to you know, making it all about me instead of doing the work that God's called us to do. And you know, as Shakespeare so clearly put it, he said, you know, a rose by any other name is still a rose. So we can call it whatever we want. The bottom line is, are we getting the work done? And, you know, so here at LOA, we do have a couple of office titles that we use. We have title of pastor. We have title of deacon. And, you know, they perform functions that need to happen. And those functions vary sometimes from day to day. You know, what's my role as a pastor? Well, most of the time is to do whatever needs to be done. Amen? Have deacons. What's the role of a deacon? Do whatever needs to be done. We're not going to constrain you, David, and say this is, you can only do what's in here. It's right, you're going to do whatever needs to be done. But you may be sitting here and say, well, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a deacon. Okay, well, we're not going to constrain you. You can do, if there's something that needs to be done, have the ability to do it, we're going to put you to work. Amen? The titles are not the important thing. The work of God is the important thing. But God does, you know, did put a system in place to bring some organization into the church, and especially with offices of pastors and deacons. And so, again, we follow that biblical example. But leadership ability, whatever these titles that we use, it is, you know, and however exactly it's manifested, it is vital to the success of the church. We need people in various, to take on various responsibilities in leadership. Amen? And so if those are getting done, the church will be healthy and successful. If those are not getting done, the church will not be so successful. And so they can vary, they can change, and whatever we have in place here right now may change over time. So that kind of brings me to the end of my making it perfectly clear on the gifts of leadership. So again, I think with all the gifts, I think we make a great mistake when we try to break on, you know, try to bring things down to too small of a level. But again, when I step back, I can see kind of how God expects all these things to work in the church. So, you know, whether you feel that you have to have a title shouldn't matter. But what should matter is not so much identifying and pinning labels on everything. What should matter is getting the work done. And of course, certain people may have multiple gifts, and so they operate in different areas at different times. Or if they're really talented, they do three things at once. So That's, I think, the way we need to look at these gifts. So we'll continue on looking at some of the gifts that Paul lay out and kind of see the types of things that need to be going on in the church body. Amen? And I know this is a little bit different from how I have traditionally heard the gifts of the Spirit taught, but like I say, just reading what Paul's writing, I have to believe that the way I've heard this taught a lot is really not what Paul was trying to say. And if you disagree with that, that's okay. Just don't throw rocks and we're good. Amen. All right, let's go ahead. We'll close this morning.